as promised on the Comcast Business Hotline. Right now, good friend of the program, he is Steve Callis from Callis Remarks. Hello, Steven. How you doing today, my friend?
All good, Joe. Great to be with you, as always.
You too. Let's start with the 76ers. They're off to Boston to face those dreaded Celtics. Celtics beating Milwaukee in seven games. Sixers have added 5 days off. Who does the rest versus rust favor, do you think?
I'm rooting for Philly, rest or rust. I understand what you're saying. But to me, again, they got a big two. They're transcendental. Boston's good, but they lost Kyrie. It would be a different series, I think, if they were playing against Kyrie. I just think Philly's too good. I just think they're better. And, you know, it's interesting because you're watching, like, Golden State play. So if you win your first series in the West, you're playing Golden State or Houston. Good luck.
Yeah, that's fun.
But if you win your first series in the East, I'm sorry, you're playing Toronto or Boston. And, yes, Boston lost their best player. But Toronto has, you know, the two guards essentially. You know how we talk, big two, big three, big four.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just not, again, I've said forever, you know, teams in the West are in the wrong conference. If you're in the West, you're in the wrong conference if you're not Golden State. Maybe if you're not Houston. Everybody else is in the wrong conference. You want to be in the East. So taking nothing away from LeBron, and I know we'll get to him and his greatness, but taking nothing away from him, he's been in the right conference for a long time to go to seven straight finals in a row. Which is one reason, as you know, I think he might want to stay in the East next year.
Yeah.
That's for another time, of course.
Of course. We talk about that quite often. All right. Jaylen Brown not playing tomorrow night, we don't think, and he might not play in the series of that hamstring. Is a serious injury. What matchups do you think the Sixers can exploit?
Well, I think, look, Al Horford had a great series, but I don't think he can remotely guard Joel Embiid. I think the most interesting thing in the series is how the Celtics are going to play Ben Simmons. Now, we talked about it after game two. I don't know if it was an accident or on purpose. I think it was an accident that there seemed to be times when Simmons would bring the ball up. Nobody's guarding him one-on-one for the length of a game. It's just not happening. And as we've talked for months now, this is a guy you guard him. He's 6'10". He takes two steps going to the basket. He's by you even if you're guarding him, and he's dunking. He's not laying it in. He's dunking on people. So I think, and what happened in game two of Miami, you'll recall the one game that Miami won, it was in Philly, but Miami won that second game, is when he came down, it seemed to be for a while they were almost using zone-like principles, so there wasn't just one guy on Simmons. He was almost kind of double-teamed, but in a zone kind of way. And there weren't open passes underneath the basket for layups or anything like that. Now, that only happened in game two, as far as I could tell, and I guess it was an accident, but, you know, they got a good coach, the Celtics, and if they saw the way that worked out, again, only for one game. I think it's going to be interesting to see if they try and almost double. Well, you saw what Cleveland did to Oladipo. I mean, they just made it obvious doubles 40 feet from the basket, and we can talk about that. They took the ball out of Oladipo's hands. Simmons obviously isn't the shooting threat that Oladipo is. Oladipo, as good as he is not the inside threat that Simmons is, because Simmons is 6'10 and can shoot with either hand. But I think a big part of the whole series is going to be what they decide to do with Simmons. If they just play him straight up, I think that's a huge advantage for Philly, and I think that Philly's going to win the series no matter how they play him. But again, that's kind of a function of no Kyrie. They've got a very good team. Tatum has turned out to be an excellent rookie in a year of excellent rookies. You know, as good as he is, and he's real good, nobody's talking about
him. Nobody talks about
him. But, you know, that's more, you know, if any of these guys were in last year, Malcolm Brogdon was the rookie of the year last year. If any of these guys played last year, they would have been the rookie of the year. But, you know, they have a talented team. They got some tough dudes, you know, Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart. These guys are tough guys. Terry Rozier has been like a find this year because he got to play a lot now with Kyrie on the bench. So they have a very good team. Can they win the series? Absolutely. You know, it's you know, they're supposed to win the series on paper, I guess you would say. But I don't think they're going to. I just think Philadelphia, the arrow is, you know, virtually, certainly going higher from left to right, not straight up, but certainly higher at all times. And it's only getting better. You know, does it? I heard you ask Marcus, what about live by the three, die by the three?
Yeah.
A lot depends on whether you can get these guys stone open threes as opposed to contested threes. That's usually the game. And that, to me, goes back to how do you play Simmons. If Simmons gets to the basket and guys are helping in on him, then there's going to be lots of guys open for open threes. And like most teams, when you're open for open threes, that's when you're at your best shooting threes. Guy like Redick can shoot a contested three. He's the best guy in the league at coming off a pick, catching a pass, and hitting a jumper. It's unbelievable how good he is at that. Better than anybody else I can pick in the whole league. And maybe he was always like that. I just didn't watch him as much when he was, you know, like a Clipper or something. But obviously he's been a big help, and, you know, they've got a very good team, and you need a host of three-point shooters around your stars, and that's already what the 76ers have done. That's what they have.
Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline. Steven, let's turn our attention to the Eagles and their draft. We know what Dallas Goedert can do. A first round pick that dropped into the second round. Eagles snatched him up at 49. They were at 52. They moved up to 49. But what do you think of the remaining picks? They had 2 fourth-round picks and then a sixth and a seventh. What were your thoughts? And I know it takes about 3 years to judge a draft, but your initial thoughts and speculation on what the Eagles did.
I like their low picks a lot. I like Josh Sweat. I saw him play that whole game against Alabama. He was very good. I mean, the knock on him might be he's kind of up and down, but if you're up against Alabama, to me that means you're an incredibly talented guy who needs to be, you know, motivated in the right place. I think if you walk into the Super Bowl champion winning locker room in the NFL, you're going to be motivated. So I think he actually has an upside. And again, he's walking into a loaded line, so I don't know that they need something from him right away. Maybe he can be an occasional rotational guy. But, you know, when you walk into that locker room with Graham and even Bennett, and now Chris Long is coming back for sure, boy, I think he's got an upside for them, and they don't expect a lot out of him. I'm most intrigued by these last two guys, Pryor and Mailata.
I mean, the Thunder from down under. What are your thoughts?
If you watch the video on this guy, I just for a brief moment, you know, I lost my mind and I said, could you imagine at the goal line this guy blocking for LeGarrette Blount? And then, of course, he's on the Lions. But imagine him, imagine him blocking for Jay Ajayi. I mean, it's going to be who's scarier? And I think at some point, maybe I'm dreaming, this guy's a rugby player, and if you look at the video, he's carrying the ball and five guys are tackling him and nobody has any equipment on and guys are bouncing off him.
Yeah.
You might want to give him the ball. You know, maybe he's the refrigerator scoring a touchdown in the Super Bowl. If not, he's knocking guys sideways because I understand he's going to be an offensive lineman. I understand that's going to be a lot. The kid Fant from Seattle, he played 2 games in college. I understand he's an American and there's a thing there. But he literally played two. He was a basketball player. He played 2 games at Western Kentucky and became a starter in a year or two at Seattle. Now, Seattle's got a terrible line. Eagles have a good line. So there's no rush on him. And again, just think, Matt Pryor, 6'7", 358. So you could, in theory, at some point, have two guys next to each other on the offensive line. And yes, I know it's a few years away. 6'7", 358. And Mailata, 6'8", 346. I mean, even in today's NFL, that's unfathomable. But that's where we're going. That's where the league is.
Yeah, no, I agree, Steve. We have about a minute and a half left. Let me ask you, and I meant to ask you before we transition to football. LeBron James was a monster today. He's really carrying, you know, his squad. He's a big one at this point. I mean, your thoughts on him? I know you talk about, you know, the road to the Eastern Conference Finals, or the NBA Finals goes through LeBron. I tend to agree with that until that stake is driven through his heart. He's going to be a problem. You know, your thoughts on, you know, LeBron today and coming or not coming to the 76ers?
Well, you know, I thought that it was a possibility since before the season started. Now, to me, it's almost a reality. That, again, the question is no longer why would he come to the 76ers. The question is, why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
And again, for these people who go, you know, it must have been out in San Francisco, Oakland a couple of years ago. Oh, we don't want Kevin Durant. We got the big three. We just won the championship. Yeah, we just lost this one. Blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And there had to be people like on our side of it going, Kevin Durant? You kidding me? You don't want Kevin Durant? What are you guys, morons? And then, of course, Kevin Durant showed up, jumped the big three, and they became champions, and I think they will be champions again this year if they're all healthy.
Yeah.
And so, to me, it's the same LeBron analysis, and I wouldn't leave out bringing to Paul George, because even with LeBron, they have a big three, and I happen to think that particular big three in Philadelphia could beat Golden State, but I think you might want to get another guy. I don't think it's going to be Markelle Fultz based on what we've seen, unless you tell me an offseason is going to totally cure his shooting issue.
Yeah.
But, you know, Paul George is out there, and the original ones was George and LeBron to the Lakers, right? The other thing I wanted to say just quickly about the Cavaliers today, and we've talked about it on the air before, you know, Kevin Love has not been Kevin Love until the second half of today. Tristan Thompson, everyone's going, oh, how smart is Ty Lue? He started Tristan Thompson today, and I'm like, hold it. Why hasn't he started all seven games? This is Tristan Thompson. They gave him virtually a max contract or an $80 million contract because of LeBron.
Yeah.
And he played out of his mind today, and I swear there was one time he got an offensive rebound, he threw it to somebody for a three, he wound up standing right by the Cavaliers bench, and when the three went in, he said something to Ty Lue, and it's got to be something like, why the heck haven't you played me this whole time? He winds up with 15 and 10. He had 3 points the first six games, including not playing in three of them. So I saw a better Thompson. I saw a better Love. And all these people talking about the ball handling. Well, when George Hill came back today in the second half, first time in 3.5 games he's played, LeBron virtually gave him the ball to run the show virtually the rest of the game. So don't tell me he played with Kyrie. He could certainly play with Ben Simmons. That's ridiculous. In his perfect world, he probably only wants to bring the ball up once in a while, not all the time.
Tristan Thompson, a big game today, 15 points, still 30 points behind what LeBron did today. Just a monster. Steve, we appreciate it as always. We'll obviously hook up again when I'm on next, and we'll talk about the Sixers Celtics and you know, how that series progresses going forward. Appreciate your time, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
You too.